Wow, isn't she precious? She's playing piano. That's awesome. Thank you, Tammy. And the choir. I'm gonna try to sing in the choir. So I can't sing. I can play, you know. I can play the radio, but man, good morning. And good to see everybody here. I see folks that are visiting. I'm gonna embarrass you. What was his name? Jared? Is that right? Jared, yep. Good to see you, Jared and Coy and his family. Sorry, ma'am. Madison, I got that one. Our granddaughter's name's Madison. I'm sorry, I forgot your name, ma'am. What was it? Alicia. Okay. Yeah, good to see you guys. And where Emily's over there by herself. Yeah, I've been looking at their Facebook pictures. Colorado's beautiful. They've been posting a lot of really beautiful pictures, so that's awesome. So good morning to you again. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. And as you're turning there, let's pause for a minute and pray and ask God to help us. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for such a beautiful day. Thank you for the beautiful weather and folks on vacation and having a good time. Thank you, Lord, for the fall coming about and things that we're going to do in the next quarter. Lord, let us be mindful that we... Everything we do, we want to lift up the name of Jesus and where we can see folks saved and born again and marriages healed and relationships restored. And Lord, I just pray for this time this morning, Lord, that you help me deliver what you've put on my heart. We give it all over to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, 15 through 16. So we're going to go on. Derry's going to put it up there, but we're going to read on. All right, here we go. I'm in the NIV this morning. I'll dance around between the New King James Version, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, the NIV Version. And we'll stay around those areas. So this morning is the NIV Version, verse 15. Here it is. This is really special to me. And so I want to take my time this morning. And Holy Spirit, you help me out. All right, here we go, 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Again, for you guys, remember this is Paul talking here. 16 says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Amen? Amen. Can we all agree this morning that we've all messed up several times in our lives? Can we? You know? But have you ever really messed up big time? There's a few of you that probably have. I have. There's been times when I've really messed up big time. This morning we're going to take a short look at Paul's life. And we're going to look at his life and his journey from religion to relationship. Now, when we first see Saul in the New Testament, he is really messing up big time. And he doesn't really even know it. He really doesn't. Saul tries to destroy the church and goes from house to house, dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. When you really look at the Greek part of that word, it talks about him brutally devastating many homes. and breaking up families and leaving children without their parents, full of sorrow, the Bible talks about. Paul even killed Christians. Now, it's really hard for me to believe that this is the man that God would choose later on to write the great love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. Would you agree? I mean, later on, you know, it's like, oh man, this, you know. So Paul's life shows us that God can use us in spite of our worst sins, our biggest mistakes, and maybe even our family history. When we mess up big time, the enemy always comes in there, right? When we mess up big time, the enemy always comes in there and starts whispering those lies. Because you know, he is the liar and the father of lies. He starts saying, God could never use you. You've messed up now. You've messed up your testimony. God will never use you. Those are lies. You see, Paul's life teaches us, even though that we mess up big time, God will forgive us and make a way for us to serve Him in order to reach the world and in order to touch others who are hurting. Remember, that's why Jesus came, to save sinners. When we study Paul's background, we discover two things about messing up big time. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. First of all, it's real simple. When you study Paul's life, you'll see that he never tried to justify or rationalize his sin. He owned up to it. He didn't play the blame game by blaming his parents or blaming his religious training or his upbringing. No, he didn't. Second thing, when we study Paul's life, we see that God has a plan for our lives before we're even born. Now, Saul was born in Tarsus in what is today modern-day Turkey. Okay, he was born a Roman citizen, a privilege that would help him out later on in his ministry. Now, Paul was his Roman name, and his Jewish name was Saul. And some theologians say it's probably because of, you know, the first king of Israel. Unlike a lot of the apostles of that day, who were uneducated and unschooled, and they were ordinary men, Saul was highly educated. Matter of fact, he was educated and mentored by some of the most famous rabbis of the day. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Paul kind of sums up his pre-Christian life. Okay, before he found the Lord and Jesus knocked him off the donkey, right? Here we go. Paul says in Philippians 3 and 5, this is what Paul said, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regards to the law, I was a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. Wow. Can you imagine somebody standing up saying that after they did all the things they did? That's what Paul did. Now look, when we break that down, when he says he was circumcised on the eighth day, that means that he was a Jew by birth. That's what that means. When he says that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, that means that both of Saul's parents were Hebrew by birth. In other words, he could trace his genealogy straight back to Abraham. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? When he says that he's a Pharisee and a son of the Pharisees, sounds like the old hardcore Democrats, doesn't it? Or Republicans, I don't know, whatever. He said he was a Pharisee and a son of a Pharisee, which means that he was a member of an elite club of Jews that were loyal, very loyal, and had authority with the Word of God and the Old Covenant Law. He even went on to say this in Galatians 1:14. In Galatians 1:14, he says, this is the scripture, he says, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. Paul was one of the most brilliant and zealous Pharisees. Saul was very religious, but he had no relationship with God. Now, back in that day, Jewish parents, like Saul's, believed that if you did not teach your son a trade, then you taught him how to steal and how to sell and how to manipulate others. So you get a lot of those street vendors from, you know, that kind of thing in that era. So what they did is they taught Saul the trade of tent making. And we all know when we study that definitely benefited him and his associates throughout his ministry. Here it is, guys. Listen to this. God began preparing Saul for his life purpose when he chose his parents. And that set in motion the chain of events and experiences that arranged Saul's early life. Here's my question for you. Who chose your parents? Psalms 139:13. The Bible says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. The Bible also says in Psalms 139:16. Listen to this. This is beautiful if you think about it. Psalms 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. I'm going to read that again. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. God planned you and me before we were even born. Many of us came from broken homes. But all of us came from imperfect parents and imperfect homes. However, we must honor our parents because, as Saul, God sovereignly chose our biological mothers and fathers. And Exodus 20:12 clearly tells us, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that God has given you. Each of us has inherited a set of chromosomes from his or her biological father and a set of chromosomes from his or her biological mother. Now stay with me. God chose to weave these chromosomes together to create a unique pair of genes that made you. That made you. With your unique talents and your unique gifts and your intellect and your personality, God created that. You were matched perfectly for His purpose for your life. Listen here now. I'm going to say it again. You were matched perfectly for His purpose for your life, regardless of parental shortcomings, hurts, rejections, or bad or good issues. God chose your parents to create you because He wanted you to have a certain combination of chromosomes and childhood experiences. We have to understand that God Almighty is sovereign. And He allowed, and He still allows things to happen to us, good and bad. Matthew 5:45 says, God makes His sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. See, guys, sovereign means a lot of things, but sovereign basically means God is in control. There is absolutely nothing that happens in this universe that is outside of God's influence and His authority. I love the worship song this morning, Gary. Thank you for listening to the Lord on that one. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God has no limitations. Let's consider for a minute what the Bible says about His sovereignty. You ready? Buckle your pants. Your britches, as they say in the old school. God is above all things and before all things. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is immortal and He is present everywhere so that everyone can know Him. It's Revelation 21:6. God created all things and holds all things together, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible, Colossians 1:16. God knows all things, past, present, and future. There is no limit of His knowledge, for God knows everything completely before it even happens, Romans 11:33. God can do all things and accomplish all things. Nothing, everybody say nothing. Nothing is too difficult for Him. And He orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life, in my life, in America, and around the world. Whatever He wants to do in this universe, He does. For nothing is impossible with Him. Jeremiah 32:17. God is in control of all things and rules over all things. He has power and authority over nature, earthly kings, history, angels, demons, even Satan himself has to ask God for permission before he can even act. Psalms 103:19. You see, guys, that's what being sovereign really means. It means being the ultimate source of all power, authority, and everything that exists. Amen? Only God Almighty can make those claims. Therefore, it's God's sovereignty that makes Him superior to all other things that pretend or say that they're gods. It is Him and Him alone worthy of worship. Just as peasants always bow before their king in the fear of offending the one who has the authority to take their life, God's sovereignty compels us to bow before Him. But, unlike corrupt earthly kings who abuse their authority, God rules in love and mercy and grace. See, my friends, He loves you and He wants the best for you. He has created you with unique gifts and abilities and skills and talents and a unique personality. Why? Very simple. He wants us to love Him. He loves us. And He wants us to love Him. And to love people. And fulfill the Great Commission. Why did Jesus come? To save sinners. Back to Saul for just a minute. Nothing in Saul's family history, not his childhood, not his background, not his work experience, not even his religious training would go to waste. It was all part of God's plan to prepare the greatest apostle of all time. See, Romans 8:28, God's preparing you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who are being called according to His purpose. Got to get deep here a little bit. You ready? God made you and allowed the experiences that you've had, good, bad, glad, and sad, that you needed to fulfill the purpose for your life. God has a purpose for allowing every hurt that you've had. It was part of the preparation process of His wonderful plan for your life. We don't see it when it's happening. But remember, God said, all things, to be used by God, we must understand that God doesn't want to waste any talent, any experience, any training, or any personal hurts. They're all part of His divine purpose puzzle for our lives. Think about it like this. When we finally come to Christ, all those parts of the puzzle of our lives begin to come together for the purpose of building us up to fulfill our individual purpose for God. That is to love people and lead people into the kingdom. When we mess up big time, we must always remember that God has a purpose for our lives before we were even born. Yes, we can ask for forgiveness and repent, make a commitment to serve Him, and He will make a way in spite of our worst mistakes. 1 John 1:19 says, "We confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, the greatest Old Testament saints, right, faltered in their faith, had doubts, messed up big time, committed terrible sins, didn't they? I mean, the whole Testament's full of them. Moses and David were murderers, but so was Paul, the fellow we're talking about. God reveals in the Bible the faults and sins of His great saints. He reveals these sins. He reveals these human errors to give us hope. You see, as we study Saul's life, we learn no matter what we've done, no matter what was done to you, God can still use us in a mighty way. You see, we never know how God is going to use our past or our present hurts and our sufferings to touch other people. Although Saul was a deeply religious Jew, and what he did was in ignorance, he made no excuses, but instead considered him the worst of the sinners. You see, Paul had learned how to accept, receive, and walk in God's grace. I'm going to say that again. Paul had learned how to walk in God's grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Amen? Listen to this. Although his sins were all forgiven, Paul had to live with the memories of his sin for the rest of his life. That's what makes sin so bad. You see, listen closely. We can receive God's forgiveness, and we can forgive ourselves or maybe forgive others. But you know, we still may have to live with the memories and the consequences of our sin or maybe someone else's sin for our lifetime. But we do not have to allow it to control us. We can live in victory. You can live in victory. You see, David understood this truth. And he described it in Psalms 51:3. Where David was crying to the Lord and he said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me." You see, friends, we're free to choose whether to sin or not. But we're not free to choose the consequences of our sin. Young folks, y'all listen to that one now. Right, guys? You see, you may have messed up big time. Maybe in your past. But please, I beg you to please hear me on this. God loves you. His grace is sufficient for you. God has a purpose for your life before you were even born. God can use you to help others in spite of your worst mistakes. Your experiences, whether good or bad, can be a bridge of healing for the hurts of someone that may be struggling today. Maybe this is God's ministry for you. Maybe this is what God's calling you to do with your life. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, and I'll close. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Wow. Amen? Let's pray. Bow your heads. Father, I love you, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to me. And Lord, I trust that your word has ministered to others who've heard it, whether it's in our fellowship this morning or maybe even on the internet, on the website. Father, I pray for the ones who may have messed up big time. They'll receive your mercy and grace. They will forgive themselves and maybe somehow accept the calling in their life to minister to others that may be hurting in that area. For I love you. Lord, if there's one today that has never given their life to Jesus Christ, Lord, when we do the song of invitation, I ask that they would come down and give their life to Christ. Holy Spirit, you're the one that draws people to Christ, so we just trust you with that. Maybe someone's here who'd like to join the church. They can come down and talk with me. In Jesus' name, amen.